I am a minister member of the Presbytery of the Southwest of PCA now since, for about a year and a half after serving for 49 years in the USA Church. And some of us are slow learners. Let us hear together with reverence the word of God. Blessed is the one who reads aloud these words.
Blessed are those who hear and obey, for the time is near.
On page 570 of your little Bibles with the little print in them, there is the 18th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. At the beginning of the chapter, he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. And for a while he refused. But afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down with her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? We thank God for this portion of his inspired and infallible word and for the perfect teaching of our Lord. Let us pray. Father, my voice has grown weak, and our ears have been filled with so much talk during the last week. So wash us clean and prepare us to receive your word, that it may take root in our hearts. To the glory of Jesus Christ, amen. I don't know whether you've heard about it or not. It may have been in the news some. But next year, there's going to be an election in the country. When I was young, my family operated a small town daily newspaper. And election night was one of the most exciting nights in the year. The city would come and rope off the street at each end of the block where the newspaper office was located. And we'd put a big board across the front of the building. And a crowd would start gathering late in the afternoon, waiting for the polls to close to get the returns. We had correspondents out in every precinct in a rural county. And they would call in to us, and we would climb up a ladder and put the numbers up on the board. And the people would speculate about how things were going. And usually it would be after midnight before we knew who the next sheriff was going to be. And sometimes it would be the next day or even 2 days before we knew who the next president would be. But now there aren't any more election parties, because before you even get home from voting, they're on television telling you who won. And it seems that the one who is trailing doesn't have a prayer. Literally. There's so many things now that seem to be so fixed in advance that we might as well just let the polling companies tell us who the next president is going to be instead of voting, because they seem to know what we're going to do anyway. And there's more and more in our lives that seems to be so fixed in advance that you can't change it, and there's no point in praying. Well, Jesus didn't think there was no point in praying. He taught his disciples that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. And he told them a little story. There was a city where there was a judge. And this judge was not a religious man. He didn't attend worship services or didn't have any particular beliefs. He was a bit skeptical about religious things. And he was indifferent to the parade of human suffering that passed through his courtroom. Jesus said he neither feared God nor respected man. And in that same city, there was a widow. Now, I don't think it's accidental that Jesus chose as the central character of the story a widow. Because a widow is a person who finds it hard to get people to listen to her. People get tired of listening to her. They think she ought to be getting over it by now. They don't realize that you don't get over it. And this widow, though, was put off by the judge, who just, he had cases involving much bigger amounts of money and seemed more important to him, and he just pushed her petition aside. But this widow found the way of moving that unrighteous judge, and that was her persistence. She just wouldn't take no for an answer. Every day she would come down to the courthouse and she would ask the clerk, "When is my case going to be heard?" Maybe it had to do with the inheritance or something, and someone was standing in her way. And she said, "I have a complaint and I want it to be heard." And the clerk would say, "Look, the judge is tired of hearing about this." And she'd say, "That's tough. He's the judge. I've got a complaint and I want it heard." And he would go into the chamber and tell the judge, "That woman is out here again." And finally, the judge just threw up his hand and said, "All right, I'll hear her case. I'll give her what she wants, so there won't be any appeal or any continuation. I'll give her what she's asking for, and I'll have her out of my hair." And then Jesus said a rather strange thing. He said, "Listen to what that unrighteous judge says. And will not God answer those who cry out to him day and night?" Now, be careful. Jesus is not comparing God to that judge. He's not suggesting that God has to be pestered until he's sick of hearing from you because he doesn't really care. This parable belongs to a little group characterized by the words, "How much more?" Jesus was standing teaching the people, and he saw children in the crowd, and he said, "You parents, which of you, if your child asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a scorpion?" Well, it's a rhetorical question. He doesn't expect an answer. No good parent would do a thing like that, a mean trick on her own child. And so he says, "How much more will the Father in heaven know how to give good gifts to those who ask him?" So it's not a comparison, it's a contrast with that judge. How much more will God be ready to hear your prayer and answer it speedily? Now, I don't know about you, but for me that raises a question. If God heard my prayer the first time and answered it speedily, then why do I have to keep on praying? Well, Scripture gives us a couple of answers, at least a couple. One is that sometimes our prayers can't be answered in the way we ask them, because they're asking for God to do something that is contrary to the covenant He made with the creation in the very beginning. Suppose I have a mother cat, and she has already had 2 litters of kittens. And it has taken all the imagination I had to get to find loving homes for all those kittens. And now she is great with child again. And so this time I decide I'll pray about it. And I say, Lord, we've really had all the kittens that we can care for. Please, this time, let it be puppies instead. Now, what do you think are the chances of my prayer being answered? Well, I agree with you. It's about that much chance. Why? Because I'm asking God to do something that violates the covenant He made in the beginning, when He made each one bearing its young after its own kind and in its own likeness. Cats have kittens, dogs have puppies, and giraffes have baby giraffes. I just threw in the giraffe because I was in the Cincinnati Zoo one day when a giraffe was born, and the mother gives birth standing up, and the baby drops about 6 feet to the ground, kerplop, and that wakes him up, and he gets up and goes staggering after his mother. Now, in nature, he has to do that, because out in the bushes, there are lions who would like nothing better than baby giraffe for breakfast. The baby looked just like his mother, looked like a little giraffe. That's the way God has put the world together. Everything is connected to everything else. And sometimes we have to pray until our prayer is corrected, because we're asking God to do a magic trick instead of a miracle. He's not going to take something and change it into something else just because it is hurtful to us or annoying to us. He has made everything connected. That thing that you're praying about that is hurtful or destructive or just annoying is a fruit that grew on a stem that's connected to a branch that's connected to a stem that is connected to the roots that are growing deep in the soil of your life and of this fallen world. And if you want that changed, you have to learn to say, Lord, change whatever has to be changed in order to produce a different fruit. And when we learn to pray that way, I guarantee an answer speedily. And we may not like the changes that have to be made, but they are answered. Sometimes our prayers just have to be corrected, and that can only happen if we're persistent in presenting them. Another reason is that sometimes God has already heard your prayer and answered it the first time, but you didn't see the answer. It didn't look like what you asked for, or it doesn't look like something God would do, and you just haven't noticed it. In Arkansas, there's a place where diamonds are found on the surface of the ground. And it's a state park now. We're told it used to be a volcano, where that's why there are diamonds there. And you're allowed to keep any stones that you find. Some people go in and they look around, scrabble in the dirt a little bit, and they say, well, it's supposed to be diamonds here, but we didn't see anything. Other people go in and they may take a little folding beach chair, or they may just squat on the ground, and they study a small area right in front of them, scanning it back and forth persistently. And sometimes, if you watch long enough and are patient enough, the sun will catch that crystal at just the right angle, and you see a glint, and you can reach and grasp your prize. Now, the diamond hasn't moved. It's been right there under your nose the whole time. But you didn't see it before. And so if you pray and think nothing has happened, maybe something has happened and you didn't notice it. It takes continual, persistent prayer before you realize that God is helping you and you didn't know it. Been helping you the whole time and you didn't know it. Prayer changes things. And the change is cosmic. The whole universe is changed when you pray. Not just this one thing, but it's connected to everything else. Some people say that if you have a sickness, you don't need to pray about it. What you need is to go to the doctor and get some antibiotic or whatever, and that's what will cure you. But you know, Jesus wasn't contrasting praying with doing something about it. He was contrasting praying with losing heart. Often the people who have quit praying have quit doing anything else either. They've lost hope, lost heart. Prayer with effective works changes the world. James said the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When I start quoting verses, I go back to the King James Version that I learned in my childhood. It availeth. It does something. It gets results. God cares. God hears. God answers. But His language is not our language. I mean, who else can speak and light comes to be? Or the heavens and the earth, or the beasts and the animals and the creeping things, or you and me. God's language is different and far more wondrous than ours. Asking Him is asking the one who created everything and is Lord of everything. You never lose hope. You need never lose heart. You never reach the point where you haven't got a prayer. Therefore, let us pray. Lord, of all the miracles we have seen, the most amazing thing we know is that You, who could have created anything You wanted, created us. and made us in such a way that we can come to you and speak to you and be heard and answered. The most amazing fact that we know. Forgive us for neglecting the gift of prayer. And teach us to yearn for it, to look forward to it, to celebrate it, and to feel and see and sense the power of praying to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.